Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's Farming News and Views on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up shortly, I'll be looking at some of the issues raised at the Oireachtas Committee on Agriculture, which met this week. To find out more, I've been talking with one of its members, Donegal Sinn Féin Senator Padraig McLoughlin. But first, as the countdown continues to this year's National Ploughing Championships, which are being staged next week in Tullamore and County Offaly, I've been getting a glimpse of farming in the future. One of the exhibits will be hosted by Science Foundation Ireland. I've been speaking with Professor Mark Ferguson, Director General of Science Foundation Ireland and Chief Scientific Advisor to the government. What he had to say was very, very interesting indeed. Professor Mark Ferguson, the Science Foundation Ireland tent at the National Ploughing Championships will no doubt attract plenty of visitors. Perhaps you can tell us a little bit about what people can expect.
Well, they can expect a number of things in the tent. First of all, we'll be looking at smart farming or the future of farming. And essentially, that's the intersection between farming and ICT, software, computer sciences, big data, and so on. And I'll speak about that in a few moments. And then there'll be demonstrations, there'll be things to engage children in science generally, both as it relates to farming and more generally. And then we're doing a number of things with our neighbour, who's RTE, Tent Next Door, where we're doing a number of demonstrations and interviews and so on. And the Big Week on the Farm programme, which RTE screened Science Foundation Ireland co-funded earlier in the year, there'll be some folks there from that. So hopefully there'll be stuff to entertain, there'll be stuff to engage children, and there'll also be things looking at the future and where farming could go.
The mind boggles when we try and look to the future. If we go back 20 years, most of us never heard of email. The internet was really in its infancy for the wider population. I remember being at a meeting in Letterkenny and Aircom were making a presentation and a local public representative asked, do you think this email thing will catch on? Gosh, what's going to happen the next 20 years?
Well, I think it's very exciting. You know, digital technology and ICT have really opened up a huge number of possibilities for all people, you know, rural people, city people, all over the world. And I think that there's a huge opportunity in farming. I mean, the real interesting place is where you can collect data and then analyze that data and use that to make intelligent decisions. You know, data for data's sake is not that great. So what sort of things would we be looking at? I mean, if you think about the farm, you can deploy sensors. For example, you can deploy sensors on the ground to measure various nutrients. Then you can customize, you know, what fertilizer or what you put on the ground. And that has a couple of advantages. First of all, you're not putting on unnecessary things, so that saves the farmer money. And secondly, you're not having runoff problems, you know, off the land into water and environmental contamination. So that's a kind of win-win. And then if you think about, you know, sensors on animals, you can put little monitors around the necks of either cattle or sheep. They can measure the body temperature. They can measure, for example, the amount of methane gas that the animal's burping up, all kinds of stuff. And from that, you can tell whether the animal's healthy or sick. You can tell how much it's eaten. You can tell something about its productivity, converting the feed into, say, milk if it's a dairy cow or beef if it's a beef cow. You can tell when it's coming into heat, if it's a female cow. And you can tell all of that, essentially, from a smartphone or an iPad. And that's quite interesting. And then you can become more exotic. You know, people are talking about farms without fences. So you have a little collar around the animal. You kind of zap it with a little shock, you know, from a satellite. If it's straying beyond where you want to have strip grazing and you don't have any fences. People are talking about automated tractors, you know, that you control from your iPad to drive up and down. And then on the whole dairy place, I mean, there's already technology that will sense, for example, when a container is filling with milk. It'll notify, for example, the dairy co-op or the person collecting the milk to send round a tanker. So instead of having a regular collection, maybe every Tuesday or something, and emptying a half-empty tank, you can actually go when the tanks are three-quarter full. So I think, you know, those are examples from today of where the deployment of sensors, sort of Internet of Things, can give data that hopefully allows the farmer to manage more efficiently, to be able to make decisions either about individual animals or fields or crops. And then also in the supply chain, you know, to look in the example I gave about dairy, or, you know, in traceability, for example, in beef products. So I think it's very exciting. And this is an area where Ireland could really lead. I mean, farming's very important for Ireland. We have very great traditional industry, but we also have a lot of ICT industry. We also have a lot of people who develop apps. We also have a lot of people writing software. You know, we have the right ingredients to really lead on this.
Now, some people might find it a bit daunting, but technology can be the farmer's friend. And in counties like Donegal, you touched on it there. I know there are a number of small businesses that are very much going down the road of developing various products, and it will open a lot of doors.
It'll open a lot of doors, and, you know, digitalization is a great democratizing thing, because if you look around the world, you know, there are rural communities who, for example, make things. So there are movements like Fab Labs and so on, where people essentially in communities have a 3D printer, or they have a laser cutter or something like that. And then in an online community, they either do arts and craft, or they make things, you know, bits for their car or restorations or whatever, or design. All kinds of stuff, and then through the internet, sell them and sell them globally. So, you know, it's really interesting, and I think it's very important not to lose sight of the fact that, you know, the digital revolution brings huge advantages to rural communities as well as to cities. We often talk about, you know, managing traffic lights and floods and cities and all that kind of stuff, but there are just as many advantages for rural communities. And I think people are just beginning to explore those, everything from smart farming through to, you know, making your own thing. There are fab labs in Ireland, some of them in rural areas, you know, where arts and crafts people are now making things using 3D printers or laser cutters as opposed to traditional ways. So I think it's really quite exciting. It's all good.
Now, a lot of these advances will ultimately lead to higher production, more efficiency, and this is needed particularly when one takes into account that the population is growing so quickly around the world. We have to increase the amount of food we produce.
We certainly do. I mean, there will be huge demands on food supply going forward in the years to come with population growth. Obviously, there is a limited amount of land. There's obviously pressure on the land because cities and so on are expanding. But, you know, it's easy sometimes to be pessimistic about this, but one should reflect that all of the predictions about world hunger or, you know, the population outstripping food supply, which have been common throughout human history, none of them have come to pass. And the reason why they haven't come to pass is that research and science in agriculture has leapt ahead. I mean, if you think back, you know, mechanization, tractors, fertilizer, selective breeding, all of those things have really increased the efficiency of farming. And I think there's still some ways to go. I think the digital revolution, like I talked about, this tighter management of individual animals or fields will also help with productivity, and that's really important going forward. I mean, agriculture is very important for Ireland, and we want to produce the food very effectively, very efficiently, very profitably for the farmer, but we also want very good food. I mean, people want high-quality food. They want to know where it's come from. They want to know something about its traceability, and equally, going forward, just think about it. You know, if you can say that a piece of meat came from a cow that had, you know, at the lower end of methane emissions, which contribute to global warming, and there are ways of manipulating that by manipulating the feed, people may select that. If it's a very good quality meat and it's a very good price, they may pick that as opposed to a piece where you don't know that information. So all that gives competitive advantage along the supply chain. So I'm hopeful for the future. I do think we will be able to feed the world's expanding population. But as in the past, it will require big changes in agriculture. You know, you think about it, tractors replaced horses and ploughs.
I'm speaking with Professor Mark Ferguson, Director General of Science Foundation Ireland and Chief Scientific Advisor to the government. Science Foundation Ireland has invested over 41 million euro in agricultural research since 2000. Perhaps you can sort of give us an idea of some of the projects that this has seen being developed.
Certainly. So, I mean, We fund research in all domains of science, but in the agricultural space, we've been investing, for example, in people looking at sensor deployment and ICT and the Internet of Things. We've been investing in, for example, genomics, so looking at the Irish beef herd and looking at the genetics there, helping with selected strains. We've been looking, investing, for example, in waste production, for example, from chicken farms. We've been looking at fish farms and looking to see, you know, what happens if farmed salmon escape and what are their effects on the wild salmon and how can that be managed, because people are interested in both of those. So it's a wide variety of projects, but they're typically at the cutting edge of science. And they're typically in areas where, you know, you can bring to bear different disciplines, whether it's genetics or whether it's cell biology or whether it's traditional agriculture or environmental studies. And it's front-rank research. Everything we do is reviewed globally by the top people in the world. So this is international, high-quality research, and that's what the world needs.
So for those people from the Northwest heading down to the National Ploughing Championships, obviously you can get so much information online, but nothing better than to go to the Science Foundation Ireland tent and see for yourself.
Absolutely. We would welcome all visitors, and hopefully you will come away inspired, hopefully amused and engaged in science, and particularly for young people, very bright future in a large number of areas with a scientific qualification.
Professor Mark Ferguson, Director General of Science Foundation Ireland and Chief Scientific Advisor to the Government. No doubt the Science Foundation Ireland tent at the Ploughing Championships next week will be a very popular port of call. The Oireachtas Agriculture Committee has been meeting this week and there was no shortage of items to discuss. Donegal Senator Pádraig McLoughlin has been telling me more. Following representations from various farm organisations and indeed farmers themselves, the grain sector in particular in this part of the world has been hit very badly because of the bad weather. So what can be done as far as the Agricultural Committee can be concerned?
Well, I raised this issue at the committee this week, and I stated very clearly that grain growers are struggling across Ireland in terms of prices now for quite a while. What it costs to produce grain, they're not getting it back in prices, so they're losing out as it is. But with the really bad weather that we've had recently, they're not able to harvest their crop. So, you know, there is a real crisis. I was speaking to the Donegal IFA chairman, Michael Chance, and he's conveyed to me the serious problems that the farmers are enduring. He's had the IFA president here in the county, and indeed they're engaging with the Minister for Agriculture. So I wanted the Oireachtas Committee to come in behind those efforts and to urge the Minister to all he can to assist, and that's now been agreed, and indeed we're corresponding with the Minister.
In some respects, it could almost be described as a salvage operation as far as getting in some of the harvest is concerned.
That's where it's at this stage. And I'm also mindful, you know, in terms of silage, in terms of, you know, cows being, put into sheds at this time of year. It's not just grain growers. The weather has had a real impact on other farmers, but particularly there is a crisis in the area of grain because of the weather, and we're going to have to come in and do everything we can to help them.
Now, tell us a little bit about the Oireachtas Agriculture Committee. How many TDs and senators are on it, and just how much clout does it really have? Is it just a talking shop?
No. In fairness, I was a chairperson of an Oireachtas committee in the previous Oireachtas, and I sat on the three or four different committees, depending on what spokesperson role I held for Sinn Féin at the time. And committees, in fairness, do solid work. In fact, most of the work that happens in the Oireachtas isn't in the Dáil Chamber or in the Seanads, where you see the sort of Punch and Judy show. It's actually in the committees where TDs and senators work together for the greater good. And in the Agriculture Committee, our first few meetings only taking place this month, I have to say I'm very impressed with the calibre of the membership of it and the knowledge they have of agriculture. We had a really good session this week where we had the farming organisations, IFA, ICSA, ICMSA and Macron and Afirma, I hope that we'll have the hill farmers and the Irish Natura and Hill Farmers organisation and at some stage soon too. So, you know, we've had the opportunity to engage with them, to hear it firsthand, what the real issues are for farmers across all the different sectors of farming in this state. And now it's our job to work with the Minister for Agriculture, work with the government and try to address these issues.
Yeah. Now, there is a lot of talk about this new style of government. Are you seeing that at committee level? I mean, is there that cooperation and will it lead to a better end product?
Well, the proof in the pudding will be now in the budget. You know, obviously, you know, all of these presentations from the farming organisations will be passed on to the government, to the minister. There are specific requests in terms of budget allocations. I mean, obviously, farmers have faced 40% cuts to their grant aid over recent times due to austerity. We now need to see money going back into them, you know, particularly in terms of disadvantaged payments. They're now called the ANC payments, you know, the basic payments, the whole TAMS issue needs to be increased. So there's a whole range of areas we need to increase funding and support to the farmers. So the proof will be in the pudding now if the government does that when we come to budget.
And finally, Senator Patrick McLaughlin, farm credit, very important for all involved. And particularly in the Northwest, farming families, there has to be measures there to help support them to stay on the land.
Oh, a massive issue, Chris. You know, we have a situation where the interest that farmers are paying in Ireland on loans, and of course, you know, they need those loans to keep moving from year to year. It's way higher than farmers are paying on the European continent when you consider that we've carried so much of the banking debt of Europe. That's outrageous. So we need to confront the financial institutions. We need to get a better deal for farmers. The other issue, the big issue is, you know, in terms of what producers and farmers are getting paid by the meat factories, by the major supermarkets, by the corporations. There's clearly a big gap between what those who produce, you know, our food are getting and what we as consumers are paying. And that gap has to be filled. We have to get a fair deal for our farmers.
Just one final thought. If the weather doesn't improve and we edge closer to budget day, is there a possibility that there might be some sort of emergency funding or a pot that could be dipped into for extreme cases because of the bad weather?
Well, I certainly would like to see that happening. In fairness to the farming organisations, they've talked about access to credit, but I think that's the situation, you know, where you have, you know, grain growers or other farming areas where they're just not making a profit, you know, in terms of what they're getting paid for their produce. And then when you put on top of that, then the impact of weather, you know, there's clearly going to be a need for some kind of emergency funding. And indeed, we have to look at Europe for that.
Donegal Senator Patrick McLaughlin. Well, just time to give you some livestock prices, starting with cattle steer-based, €3.75 a kilo. Heifers making €3.85 to €3.90 a kilo. Bulls, €3.75 to €3.95 a kilo. Cows, €2.90 to €3.40 a kilo. And sheep prices, factories paying €4.80 to €4.90. Tops €5 being paid. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. From me, Chris Ashmore, until next week, goodbye.